Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Welcome to Mind the Gap, Anna. I'm so excited and happy to be here in your beautiful little studio space. The first time I met you, I believe, was when I was teaching for pure yoga, for the yoga room, different yoga studio, been so many, for the yoga room in Waterloo. And I was doing, I think, yoga therapy and also yin. And I would bring my bowls because I had just completed a little bit of a training. And you so kindly came to me after class and we started a conversation. Yeah. So by memory, that's kind of the first time that we met and you introduced yourself to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy to sit here today with you in your beautiful space and get to know a little bit more about you. So where were you born and where did you grow up?
Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm really excited. And I think it was like a sign that we had to do this because The first time when you reached out to talk about this, we met by chance the same day, remember?
And That's right. Like, we had that serendipity moment.
Yeah. I just sent you an email and then we meet 2 minutes later.
And I came into Brussels and we had met.
In a clothes shop.
That's correct. Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was so cool.
I thought that was like, okay, it's a sign I have to do this. So, so I'm Swedish. But I've lived in Belgium my whole life. So I came here as a kid with my parents and I'm still here.
So you were born in Sweden?
Yes.
Yeah. And was it like, because I really do not, being Australian, know much. I've never actually been to Sweden. Were you born like in a big town or like a little village?
Stockholm.
Oh, you were born in Stockholm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I know Stockholm.
Not a village.
Not a village. And did you grow up in a religious or a spiritual home or background, or were your parents religious or spiritual?
Not at all.
Really?
No. Okay. Yeah. No, absolutely not a religious family at all. The only contact I had with religion was going to church for a funeral. So it felt depressing, cold, dark, and that's it.
Like, wow.
And I did not have any thoughts about religion and
okay. So how did you find your way on to a yoga mat for the first time? Do you remember where your first yoga class was and your take on how you felt after the class?
Yes. So it was about 9 years ago. I was going on vacation with a friend of mine and we said, let's do something more than just hang out on the beach and drink cocktails.
Exactly.
Even though it's nice. But it always feels those kind of vacation when you come back, like 2 days later, you're like, when's the next one?
Yeah.
And so we said, let's go for something deeper or something more exciting. So we were looking at all these. We knew we wanted to go to Tulum because I had been there with my sons, loved it. So I said, I want to go back there.
And Tulum is?
In Mexico.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay.
which is called like a sacred grounds, and you know, so
yeah, it has a very deep spiritual connection.
Exactly, which I did not know at the time. Right. I just thought the beach was nice and I saw turtles and you know. So I said, let's go there. Then we found this bikini boot camp that we thought that sounds extreme, you know. So we found suddenly this thing called yoga. I can't remember now, reconnect, restore, recharge, you know, one of these names. And we said, ooh, that sounds nice. So we went, had never done yoga.
Oh.
And I ended up on a yoga mat and they're like, oh, okay, 6 hours of yoga a day. That's going to be
six hours.
Yeah, something like that, between 4 and 6.
And what kind of yoga were you practicing?
It was mostly Hatha, flow, you know, and softer in the evening. I know they did nidra and yin, restorative in the evening.
Yeah.
And plus a lot of workshops, you know, deep workshop. Plus there was a shaman on site.
Oh, really?
They did like the full experience. You know? So it was like a deep dive into a world I had no idea about.
Wow. So what was your take after that then? Particularly having like a shaman there, and if you not have a spiritual background, if you've not done yoga before, I would think some people would be like, oh my God, what was that?
Well, that's how it started, but very quickly I kind of connected with it. And also traveling to Asia showed me a different kind of religion.
Mm.
And, you know, that a colorful one. And beautiful rituals, like with incense sticks, which I have around here too now. And, you know, the offerings of flowers and the temples that were in color and Zen looking and stuff. And I think that's what I'm attracted to. That it wasn't the dark, cold church. You know, there can be something else. And the shaman, okay, I was a bit surprised of some of the things, but it also resonated and stuff he said were very real. So straight away I was like, okay, this is it.
Wow.
And especially the yoga. The yoga was like, yes.
Yeah.
And it's the first time, like I've always struggled. You have to do sports, you have to be fit, you have to, you know. And I would go to a gym and I would go for an hour. I'd go like, oh, good, I did it. Now I'm off for a week or, you know. Whereas yoga, as soon as I got off the mat, I was like, when's my next class?
Yeah.
And it was so different. So I came back to Belgium and straight away I was like, okay, I need to find a studio. And so I started looking for studios. I tried them out. And then that's when I heard, oh, new one's going to open. It's Yoga Room. And I was like one of the first ones to take a membership. It hadn't even opened. Like early bird thing. Yeah.
Wow. And the originals.
Yes.
And what teachers were there then? It would have been predominantly Hatha, or you had the Hot as well, but no sound healing.
No, in the beginning.
So when was your journey of sound healing? I know that you were in Bali as well.
Yeah.
Was that kind of?
Well, in Mexico, we had the first sound healing and I was like, I thought I had traveled to the jungle because they had all these instruments and stuff. And it was like, wow. And then after that, I went to as many retreats as I could. Like every vacation, I just chose a retreat and I went all over for retreats. And Bali was one of them. But Bali came a bit later. But so that's how I started doing sound healing. And, you know, Lily.
Lily wants to be with me.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before you created Leg Om, before you did the sound and meditation and all of your teacher trainings? You were in the corporate world.
Yes, I was working in a packaging design agency.
Uh-huh.
And I was a client director. So I had a big team of client managers, of designers, of printing production guys and... Yeah. So, and I was traveling so much. I was in New York 1 week a month and stress, responsibility, running around.
So that's why you were taking all of those little mini trips then away.
Yes.
So when did the connection for you happen where you're like, okay, so the corporate life is not, I can't foresee it as being my future, Or was it not that sudden? For some people, it's like they have an epiphany or they're on the yoga mat and they just see kind of their life flash by. Or for others, it's like a slow transgression into moving from A to B. Because it's not an easy transition from corporate to being a yoga teacher.
Well, it started when I turned 50. Mm-hmm. Like, a bit cliche, you know, turned 50, got a tattoo and went to Bali.
Did you get a toy boy in the car?
Unfortunately.
Isn't that what men do?
I went biking. So I, you know, took a leave of absence and went to Bali for over 2 months. And I just practiced every day. And then I got back and I was like, okay, I have to do something in the yoga world. You know, the packaging, I loved my career, but it wasn't enough. It didn't represent me anymore. And I was like, what can I do? But I really did not think I could ever be a yoga teacher. I was like, no, not me. That's not for me. Too old, not fit enough. Can't do a headstand. You know, all these limitations that you set on yourself. So I didn't know what to do, but I knew I wanted to do something within the yoga world. And it was actually just before a class, I spoke to Rob.
Yes, you know. Tell the story. I love this story.
Yeah, so I tell him, are you going to organize a retreat? Because I wanted to go on a retreat with him because I loved his classes. And he said, sure, you organize it. I hate doing that part. You organize it and then we'll do one. We go to class and during the entire class, I was like, of course, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to organize retreats for other teachers because I can't do it for myself because I'm not a teacher, blah, blah, blah. But for others, yes. So at the end of class, I told him, okay, let's do it, but let's start with a weekend. I know where we're going to have it and we're going to do this. And I've already thought of, and he was like, you've done all this during my class? And yes. It was all very clear.
Wow.
But I've had that so many times. Like when you have a decision to make or you're hesitating or you don't know, you take a class, even if you don't think about it during class, afterwards you come off the mat and the answer
is clarity. Yeah, that's one thing we don't talk about a lot in yoga, and I can agree with you 100%. And for me, all of my major life decisions happen on a yoga mat, consciously and unconsciously. Definitely, I think it puts you in a situation, a place and a state, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and also de-stresses you on a level that nothing else, because you have to be completely present. And I think when you're present for that amount of time, even though your mind still might be like thinking about something, as you're actively moving, and I think awareness of breath puts you in a different state. So you're not in that flight fight where you're just like in anxiety. You sit down a little bit deeper into the body with the breath. And even though your mind is churning and thinking, I really feel like at the end, as you said, you get clarity. Things just come to you.
But I think it's also that you learn to trust your intuition.
Exactly. So important.
And I think you have I think everyone has all the answers.
Yeah.
We have them inside, but we don't listen to them because we use our brain and we think and overthink. I still do overthink a lot, you know.
But we all do as humans on this planet.
And I'm thinking so much and overthinking, and then you're trying to take a rational decision. Whereas if you connect to yourself and you listen to your intuition, the answer, you know it, you know. So
I wanted to ask you, and this is a question I had written down, is what inspires you the most as a teacher today? And we're just discussing before off camera about corporate health and well-being, and health and well-being really are becoming now more accepted and seen more as a necessity rather than a luxury, particularly in the corporate world. How do you see yourself moving in the future, and how do you see the corporate world and wellness and well-being interacting? And because you do retreats as well, I wanted to ask you at the end, actually, what your fantasy ideal retreat would be, maybe for corporate people. But, you know, if you can just give me a little bit of feedback or what your thoughts are in regards to how your journey has been so far and the fact that where you think it's going to be in the future with health and well-being and corporate.
Well, I think there's a big difference between today and when I was young.
Yeah.
When I was young, I was like, you know, 30 or something. I had two small kids and I had a full-time job and I was running around like crazy, taking care of the kids, taking care of the work, and I never stopped. Yeah. And no one talked about burnout or, you know, all of that. The only sign was that I remember my kids were really small. I think they were 5 and not even 2 or something like that. And we were on a ski holiday and I was exhausted. You know, the baby, that 2-year-old was in a mom phase, and, yeah, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I have to go back to work in a few days. And I said, oh God, I need a break.
Yeah.
And then I go out, walk the dog. I had another dog. Then I walk the dog. Slip, break my leg.
Oh,
and I just said, I need a break. And I broke.
Oh my God, the universe gave you a break.
I didn't get it. Yeah, exactly. And that was the first, like looking back at it, yeah, I'm like, wow, you know. But at the time I thought, ooh, that's funny that I said, but I, you know, it didn't connect. And so before it, you just kept going. And today there's like emotional burnout, office burnout, you know, parental burnout. You know, there's all these, yeah, things because people are much more aware of how they're feeling. And I see like my sons are now in working age and they live in Sweden because in Sweden there's a better balance between personal,
yes,
life.
Yes, I've heard
and,
that. They, yeah, have, yeah, a much better understanding.
And they're super young. They're at the beginning of their careers and they still choose, you know, well-being and being well. And people do that more and more. So I think that companies today, they know that if they're going to recruit new people or if they're going to attract, you know, new talent or keep them, mm-hmm, they have to offer some kind of well-being. Yeah. And that's why, like with Logom, I'm introducing now Logom Work, which is really to go into companies because I do that on like for team building events.
So let's talk a little bit about that as well. So what is it and how did it come about? And
Logom?
Yes.
Yeah, so Logom, so that's how it started. Like I was saying with Rob, I was just organizing retreats for other, you know, other teachers. But at the same time, I was studying mindfulness, so I became a mindfulness teacher.
Right. Okay.
And then I studied like the sound healings and I started investing in both. And I didn't, all these things, people were telling me, oh, you're going to teach? And I was like, no, but I'm just studying, but yeah, I don't know. No, I'm never going to teach, you know. But then slowly during the retreats and the workshops and things, I was like, I want to do more than just the administrative side, you know. I want to bring some
calling was them.
Yeah, so then I started just doing some guided meditations, just 1 and 2, you know, and then more regularly. And then I thought, oh, the bowls could be good because then, you know, I don't have to teach but I can just play it, you know? So I was coming in but really like tiptoeing into it. And yeah, and it was only like 2 years ago when the agency where I had been for over 20 years was bought by somebody else. And it was someone I could not work for. Uh-huh. We had like all different values and it was really like physically I could not do it. So then I negotiated a exit package and I think we were both very happy to go.
Divine timing.
Exactly. And so then I said, okay, now I'm going to go all in on Logom Balance and take care of that and, you know, try it. And then I thought, maybe I could do my own classes. And so I did a teacher training for yin and I specialized in yin yoga and, built this studio and
yeah, so now you have your home studio. You're teaching at Mix,
yes,
also, and at the yoga room,
yoga room too,
as well.
Yeah,
amazing.
And in a retirement home as well.
I'm in a retirement home. That's right. You told me that. That's amazing. They absolutely love it. I'm sure. So Logom is a
Swedish word.
Yes, a Swedish word. So what does it mean? Because you told me.
Yeah, Logom means not too much, not too little.
Uh-huh.
It's just the right balance.
Right.
And it's different for everyone, you know. And Logom is used like in Sweden, like for everything. Oh, do you have enough food? Oh yeah, Logom. You know, it's like when you haven't eaten too much, but you're not hungry anymore. How's the weather? It's Logom. It's not too cold. Probably different than Australia Logom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so they use it for everything. And I thought, Logom is spelled Lagom. So mm-hmm. You've got the om at the end.
Yeah.
And I thought that can't be a coincidence because for me to reach that, you know, we're not all going to live on top of a mountain and meditate for 18 hours. You know, We live in a very hectic yang world, and that's fine, but you've got to find the balance. And for me, one of the ways is with yoga and meditation, and that's where the om comes from. So
how do you see that moving forward in the future in corporate ways with companies in wellness and well-being? Is it something, I guess, like maybe, as I said before, like your ideal retreat, your fantasy retreat to give to people? Can you tie those two questions in? Or
what I've started doing now is like workshops in the corporate world.
Okay.
And I think it's a nice way in, because people coming to yoga, they're already open.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go into a meeting room, people are sitting around there like in their work clothes.
Yeah, mindset is completely different.
It's very
as
different.
Well. Yeah.
And mindfulness is for me the perfect way in, because it is meditation and it is being in the now and it is being centered, but it comes in from a more pragmatic or scientific almost mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. You know, you explain how the brain works. And I know for me, being not spiritual at all, at least at the beginning, this was also my way in. Because if I understand how the brain works, oh, I know now why my brain goes, you know, 7,000 thoughts a minute. I know why.
Yeah.
Then you can react to it. And then, oh, okay, I'll sit down, I'll breathe, I'll close my eyes, I'll slow down, because my brain works this way. You know, it's like it's not just, oh, sit on top of a mountain like Buddha, or because I don't
it's
think that works.
Yeah. There is absolutely, as you said, there's science behind it.
Exactly.
What would your fantasy retreat be like?
Well, you know, first thought is Bali.
Location, yeah, in my mind.
Yeah, exactly, yours. The one you're doing in Bali next month. But
I think mine would be Byron Bay now. It changes over time.
Exactly. But no, I think maybe it would be one in Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Because Bali, there's a lot of retreats.
Yeah, there's a lot of spiritual people. And
Whereas Sweden, it's pretty big. I mean, in Sweden. But people from here, they don't know Sweden that much.
They don't, do they?
No, it's not really a destination.
It's not a destination that Belgian people go to.
Well, they do, but you know, it's also the weather is often
is not so tropical.
Not very tropical. So like Sweden, Bali. But I think that's what I would like to do, because Lagom is such a Swedish concept.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful to take it back home and do a retreat there.
And you know, when those red wooden houses, a big
log
one,
fire, and
exactly the sauna,
in nature.
Jump in a freezing lake. After a sauna.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's one of the, my dream scenario would be to go there. And
sounds good to me.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll come. I'll definitely come. I've never been to Sweden, and it's always been on my wish list of places to go. So you play the bowls, and you have alchemy bowls, and you have the crystal bowls. And I wanted to ask you as well, and I know we're running out of time, but I really wanted to just tap in a little bit on what you have experienced as a teacher now, mm-hmm. putting on your teacher's hat, with students after class, after a sound healing session, the experiences, the, I don't know, I know what happened to me, you know, many times when I'm in a sound healing session, mm-hmm. and the benefits that I've received, and sometimes the vibrational energy within my body, it lasts for days and days, right? So what have your experiences with students
been? The experiences I have, some of them are so like overwhelming, it even feels like it's bigger than us, you know, like, so some, well, there's one girl, you said it lasts for days. Well, she came to one of my classes, and she cried for 4 days. But like really cried for 4 days, which is not, you know, the point, you know, not everyone.
It's
cries
not for everyone. Don't panic.
Exactly. Come to our class. You keep crying. Here.
But Tori, she has a lot of tissues.
But she was really happy about that. She said she had
a
so much
tension.
Tension, and so much she had been building up for years that it was finally released.
Yeah.
And she said it was such a hard transition those 4 days, but she feels like a weight has been lifted, and now she comes back and she doesn't cry anymore. So
she's happy.
She seems happy. So that was one. There's also several people that have like burnout, and one woman in particular, she doesn't leave her house except for my classes.
Wow.
And she says that's the thing, she can feel herself heal.
Wow.
So that's really, you know,
that's powerful.
Yeah.
And I remember you told me a story about a girl who came to your class. And something about like she had an argument or she didn't know something, and then that person who had passed, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's the stories that are the one that are make me kind of wow
a little bit.
I have had several occasions where people see people that have passed.
Right.
So this woman, she
Greg's also had that as well.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, she had a problem in her life. And her grandfather, who's passed away for a few years, came to her and told her exactly what to do. And she wrote to me a few weeks later and said, listen, when my grandfather told me what to do, I did it and my problem is solved.
Incredible.
And another one, she cried after class and came to me. Not everyone cries. I'm getting this really bad. She said like her father had just passed and she had not been able to say goodbye. And he came to her.
Oh, wow.
And she was able to say goodbye.
Oh, wow. And
so
that's
she was
really
like, thank
deep.
You. I was able to say goodbye and let him go. Yeah.
I've read a little bit of the science behind it, but I guess just my own thought and theory, you know, about the singing bowls. Obviously, it works on the chakras and the energy systems within the body. There's a lot of science behind the vibration. I've heard things that it can help with Alzheimer's, with cancer, with many different ailments within the body. And, you know, back in shaman times, maybe why it resonated with you as well, when you used to think about like the American Indians, the Aztec, the Aboriginals, they all use sound as a way to heal. But, you know, in Western society, I guess when Christianity came in, all of that became obsolete. And then we had this like new age religion, new age kind of path coming in. We're really, it's just reconnecting back to the roots. And I really believe that now after COVID as well, there's like a huge wave of people coming back to how we used to live. Mm. The simpleness is there because we lived in nature. We had more connection to authenticity, to what was real rather than what was fake, and the connections with people. And ending on that note, I'd like to ask you, like, your inspirations and what inspires you deeply to share what you're doing. Because your theme that I gave you is that it's never too late, because you came to this journey later on in life.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you, and this is my own personal experience as well, that I just really resonate with people that have had a life that have come to you again. That's not saying that young people can't give a lot, because they can, but it's never too late. And often those that come later on have such a vast, beautiful, rich history of struggle. You know, we know what pain is. We've lived through life, right? Yeah. We've been there, we've done there. So we have the empathy that maybe someone who's not had any struggles or yet to go through that period of life in themselves. What is something that has inspired you, or what inspires you deeply?
Yeah, I think it's taking care of people. I think that's like the core, but I think that's who I am. Before, I used to take care of everyone already. Now, the difference is that I know how to take care of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I learned super late.
Yeah.
That was like, I thought that taking care of myself would be selfish.
Right? Yeah.
Like, no, I should be taking care of my team, my client, my kids, even my animals. You know, everyone came first. And I learned, but I think I learned at that retreat, the one, you know, 9 years ago, ooh, I can take care of myself.
Yeah.
And so I think that now what inspires me is to take care of people in my classes. The classes are very like cozy and protective, and I love to put the blanket on people, you know.
Yeah.
And taking care of them with the... All my meditations are about be kind to yourself, take care of yourself, you're good enough, or you're trying hard enough, or don't put these, you know, expectations that you cannot fulfill, and don't be hard on yourself, and taking care of people. And then playing all these instruments, the bowls, but also my gong.
Yoga,
yeah. All of that is like a way to make people feel good. And when the class ends and no one moves, and then they all come up and they have this half-drugged smile on their face.
Yogi stoned.
Exactly. And then they go like, oh, that was so great. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what really the core of my class. Like, even when I'm tired, I'm like, okay, I have to go and give a class, but I just got back.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then sharing that, like, I just love it. I've never once had a class where, oh, I'm glad it's over. No, I just love to share that.
Yeah.
And such a, I never thought
it's
I would
privilege.
Be a teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a privilege to be in that, to hold space for other people to come back to themselves. So where are you teaching at the moment, and what workshops and events do you have coming up?
Well, at the moment, I don't have any retreats because I'm concentrating on all the teaching now. I've done a lot of retreats. And
well,
now
we have Sweden in the pipeline.
Yes, we have Sweden, but there's no date.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. But yeah, I teach here at home.
Uh-huh.
Because it's only a small studio for four people, there are two weekly classes, Monday night and Thursday lunch. But I do a lot on demand, because it's really easy to create a little group.
Yeah.
You know, I teach like four colleagues or two moms with their daughters or four friends. And, you know, I've had birthdays, so many birthdays.
Cool.
Like, you know, you say, oh, as a gift for one, the three others, you know, they create the special.
That's
because
a
then
nice
you can do
birthday
whatever
gift.
You want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because four is a small group, so then that's whenever. And then I teach at the Mix twice a week, plus I do a lot of their special events and team buildings and all that. So it's more than
super.
Just did a prenatal class too at the Mix and stuff. That was really cute.
I like doing
and they could feel the baby move with the sounds of the bowls and stuff.
That's cool. I could talk about sound healing for so so long, but I need to wrap it up. So
and then at the yoga room.
Oh, at the yoga room as well.
At Waterloo and Forgeco.
Yes. Words of wisdom to leave on. I think I kind of asked you before, but maybe if there's like, I know that you have this little thing behind you and it has cards on with
messages from
little
the
messages from the universe,
and it's a Swedish game.
Oh, okay, no wonder I can't read it.
No, it's in English.
Oh, it is. What is a word or I don't know, a theme or something of wisdom that you can leave with us today?
I think, well, I've got a couple, but one would be take care of yourself. And
yes,
I think that in mindfulness, there was one image that stuck with me that has helped me do it. It's when they tell you in planes, in the airplane, put on your oxygen mask before you put it on to your kid, your neighbor, your help. Put it on to yourself first, because otherwise, while you're putting it on, you'll faint or, you know. And that, I don't know why, but that image stuck to me. Like, okay, you have to take care of yourself so that you can be there for others. And
I love that.
And that's really for something.
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my main, but then it would be trust your intuition. You have the answers. Stop thinking about it. Listen, you know what's right. And
then Legom, your logo, your brand name, right? Balance.
Okay. Balance. Find balance.
Find balance,
And it's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's not too late. I thought, honestly, like last year, 2 years ago when I was still working, I knew it wasn't right anymore. But I was like, it's too late to change. I might as well stay until retirement now. And now when I think of it, it's crazy. I mean, there's so many years left, but I was going to stick it out until retirement because I thought it was too late. But
well, I'm glad you didn't, Anna.
So am I. So am I.
And I'm glad you're
every day I'm
here,
like, wow, you know.
And what you're doing and what you're sharing. And I look excited to follow your journey beyond. And thank you so much for coming on Mind the Gap.
Thank
and
you
thank
so
you so much for
you.
Your journey.
Thank you.